Welcome to Washington Today on C-SPAN Radio for Thursday, December 31st, 2020. President Donald Trump returns to Washington, D.C. from Florida, posting a New Year's Eve video with what he says are his administration's accomplishments the past year, what he calls historic victories that no one ever thought possible. Big focus on the response to the coronavirus pandemic. Coronavirus promising to make this New Year's Eve much less of a crowded, raucous party. It often is in so many places. But New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says even though the public cannot come to Times Square to watch the ball drop, the virtual communal celebration will be special. He urges people to tune in. And for the third day in a row, Senate Republicans block Democrats' attempt to bring up for a vote a bill to increase the amount of recently passed stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000. 5 days until the two Georgia U.S. Senate runoff elections, which will decide which party controls the Senate in the next Congress, we'll get an update from a reporter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And we start with President Donald Trump, who, shortly after arriving at the White House today, tweeted a previously recorded New Year's message to the American people.
In the face of great challenges this year, Americans showed incredible grit, strength, tenacity, and resolve, and together we achieved truly historic victories like nobody ever thought possible. To defeat the China virus, we launched the largest mobilization since World War II. We transformed our factories to build tens of thousands of ventilators and millions of masks virtually overnight. Nobody thought it could be done. We ignored the experts who demanded open borders, and we shut down travel from China and Europe to protect our citizens, and we built the wall. We pioneered groundbreaking new therapies and treatments, and we saved millions of American lives. Over and over again, we were told it would be impossible to deliver a vaccine by the end of the year. All of the experts said, absolutely unthinkable. Trump is exaggerating. It can't happen. And we did it. Long before the end of the year. They said it would take a medical miracle, and that's exactly what it is. Years from now, they'll be talking about it. They'll be talking about this great, great thing that we did with the vaccines, a truly unprecedented, amazing medical miracle. Normally, developing a vaccine takes up to 10 years. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed, we developed a vaccine in just 9 months. We've already begun a nationwide vaccination program, and we're sending the vaccine all over the world. The world will benefit, we'll benefit, and everybody's calling to thank me. Our most vulnerable citizens are already receiving the vaccine, and millions of doses are quickly being shipped all across our country. By early next year, the vaccine will be available to every American, and shortly thereafter, it will be delivered worldwide. We will end the pandemic once and for all. This is one of the most extraordinary scientific, industrial, and medical feats in history. Everybody has it as that. That's what they're marketed down as. And we can never let people forget where it came from and how it came. We're very proud to be honored. And all of the people that worked so hard on it, we have to be remembered for what's been done. I want to thank all of the workers, scientists, doctors, and members of the military who helped make Operation Warp Speed possible.
A portion of President Trump's video message posted this New Year's Eve. You can find the entire video at cspan.org. President also touches on the economy, how it's performed during the pandemic this past year. He talks about prescription drug price controls he says he got in place. He talks more about immigration and Middle East peace agreements. The White House did not give a reason why the president ended his holiday trip to his private club in Florida a day early to come back to Washington today. He'll be missing the annual New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago. But Associated Press writes the White House announced the abrupt change in the president's schedule late Wednesday, hours after Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, said he will raise objections when Congress meets on January 6th to affirm President-elect Joe Biden's victory in the November election. And there is concern in Washington that Iran could order further military retaliation for the U.S. killing last January 3rd of top Iranian military commander General Qassem Soleimani. About those challenges during the Electoral College vote count, that's next week, January 6th, Republican Senator Ben Sasse has posted an open letter to constituents criticizing what Senator Hawley and other Republicans are planning, calling it a dangerous ploy. Senator Sasse writes, "We have a bunch of ambitious politicians who think there's a quick way to tap into the president's populist base without losing any real long-term damage, without doing any real long-term damage. But they're wrong. Adults don't point a loaded gun at the heart of legitimate self-government." It goes on from there. It's about 2,000 words, and you can find it at Ben Sasse's Facebook page. And now to the U.S. Senate today, still working on a veto override attempt of the Defense Department authorization bill, with some senators still looking to get a vote on increasing coronavirus stimulus check money. Here is the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Yesterday, the Senate was finally able to proceed to this year's National Defense Authorization Act. A few of our Democratic colleagues have pulled out all the stops to hold back this crucial bill. But last night, a big bipartisan majority of 80 senators voted to proceed. There should be nothing controversial about giving our brave men and women in uniform the tools and training they need to stay safe. There should be nothing controversial about continuing the work of rebuilding and modernizing our capabilities. It should be a nonpartisan proposition that America should keep pace with Russia and China rather than slip behind. We've enacted an annual NDAA for 59 straight years and counting. In the next few days, the easy way or the hard way, we're going to do our job once again. This body will fulfill our responsibility to the men and women who protect our country. So the Senate will be here until we finish this bipartisan legislation. Now, for several days, we've heard some senators say Congress must send more cash to high-earning households who haven't seen any income disruption during COVID-19. Our colleagues who purport to be the champions of vulnerable Americans now say that what struggling people really need is for Congress to stop focusing on targeted relief for them specifically and to instead send thousands of dollars to people who don't need the help. Experts from across the political spectrum agree that our colleague from Vermont is dead wrong on this. Socialism for rich people is a terrible way to help the American families that are actually struggling. So let me say that again. Borrowing from our grandkids to do socialism for rich people is a terrible way to get help to families who actually need it. Washington Democrats took President Trump's suggestion and skewered it so the checks would benefit even more high-earning households. Imagine a family of five where the parents earn $250,000 per year and have not seen any income loss this past year. Speaker Pelosi and Senator Sanders want to send them $5,000 from Uncle Sam. They make $250,000. Nobody's out of work, but our so-called progressive friends say the household needs, quote, survival checks. In fact, they believe a family of five should have to earn $350,000 before the spigot of government money would stop entirely. Socialism for rich people. That's what Speaker Pelosi and Senator Sanders have sketched out. A terrible way to help those who need it. And experts across the political spectrum agree.
That Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, on the Senate floor. Later, Senator Bernie Sanders, independent, who caucuses with the Democrats, responded, again trying to bring up the House-passed bill to make the stimulus checks $2,000.
So let me talk about the socialism for the rich that the Majority Leader is enthusiastically supportive of. Majority Leader helped lead this body to pass Trump's tax bill. Now, you want to talk about socialism for the rich, Mr. Majority Leader? Under that bill, Charles Koch, one of the very richest people in America, he has a net worth of $113 billion. That bill gave Mr. Koch a $1.4 billion tax break. Majority Leader, that sounds to me like socialism for the rich. Ah, but that's not all. Way in Nevada, we have a gentleman named Sheldon Adelson, a major contributor to the Republican Party. Big funder for Donald Trump. Under that same tax bill, led by the majority leader, Sheldon Adelson received a $560 million tax break. Guy is worth $34 billion, desperately needed that tax break, $560 million. Want more tax breaks for the rich? Want to talk about socialism for the rich? Senator McConnell had no problem giving a $104 million tax refund to Amazon over the past 3 years, despite the fact that that company made $30 billion in profit. So the argument that this bill in any significant way benefits the rich is just not accurate. But let us talk about who this bill does benefit. This bill benefits tens of millions of Americans who, as a result of this pandemic, have lost their lives, lost their jobs, they have lost their jobs, they have lost their incomes, and some, in fact, have lost their lives. These are people who are going hungry today. We are seeing, Madam President, a record-breaking level of hunger in America today, in the richest country in the history of the world. All over this country, and I receive emails from people all over this country, people are frightened to death that they are going to be evicted from their homes. And think about what a $4,000 check or a $5,000 check would mean to those struggling families, husband, wife, kids.
Senator Bernie Sanders on the Senate floor. He again asked unanimous consent to schedule a vote on the House-passed bill to make the stimulus checks $2,000. They're currently $600 in the bill that was signed into law. Again, Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell objected to that request. The Labor Department saying today initial unemployment benefit claims last week were 787,000. That's the first time in a month they have been below 800,000. But overall, 2020 ending with 19.5 million Americans getting unemployment benefits. By contrast, the year began with just under 2 million unemployed. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 196, closing at another record, 30,606. NASDAQ up 18, S&P up 24. The two Georgia U.S. Senate runoff elections are next Tuesday. Polls show the races are very, very close. Republican David Perdue against Democrat John Ossoff and Republican Kelly Loeffler against Democrat Raphael Warnock. Coming up, we'll talk with a reporter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, but first, some of the ads and videos supporting the candidates. First, for Ossoff, former President Barack Obama and singer John Legend, and for Perdue and Loeffler, Ivanka Trump, assistant to the president and the president's daughter.
Georgia, Georgia.
This year has tested America's spirits. We've lost loved ones, faced injustice, struggled to make ends meet. But we kept at it. We looked out for each other. And when the moment came to reject fear and division and send a message for change, Georgia stepped up. Now America's counting on you again. You can send John Ossoff to the Senate to beat this virus and rebuild our economy, to make sure everybody can afford health care, and to carry the torch John Lewis passed to us with a new Voting Rights Act that secures equal justice for all. Georgia, you have the power, and now it's time to vote.
I'm John Ossoff, and I approve this message.
Yeah.
Amazing to be back here in this incredible state of Georgia. We must send David and Kelly back to the Senate to protect American democracy.
Georgia, we're the firewall. This is the battleground for the entire country. That's why we are going to hold the line. We need you to get out and vote early. If you vote early, don't vote alone. Bring people you don't even like. Make sure that they vote. for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Together, we're going to stop socialism right here in America. And together, we are going to save our country.
Every generation has its moment of trial. Ours is right now. What kind of America are we going to lead to our children and our grandchildren? We have got to stand in the breach and hold the line against socialism.
If Ossoff and Warnock win Georgia, Democrats will gain control of the U.S. Senate, and they will enact the most radical socialist agenda in American history. Georgia will keep freedom alive in America. Together, we will reclaim America's future. We will build our nation to even greater heights, and we will keep America great. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Georgia. And God bless America.
With more on the Georgia U.S. Senate runoff elections, joining us now is Greg Bluestein, politics reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thanks for being with us. Can you tell us what is the state of these races, David Perdue versus John Ossoff and Kelly Loeffler versus Raphael Warnock?
What a great question. The state of the race is, by all accounts, from analysts, from operatives, from the campaigns themselves, is that this might as well be a coin flip. Democrats have appeared to have built a pretty hefty advantage when it comes to early voting, just like they did in November in Georgia. And in November, it proved just enough for Joe Biden to eke out a narrow victory over President Trump. Here, who knows what will happen, but I know this. Republicans are banking on a huge election day turnout. They need it. They need a giant runoff day turnout in order to erase that Democratic edge right now. And that's why it's so important, these last-minute campaign visits from both President-elect Biden and President Trump, who are coming on Monday to stump for voters.
Well, let's talk about that. Do we have any details about their appearances on Monday?
We know President-elect Biden's heading to Metro Atlanta. That is the biggest Democratic stronghold in the state. We're not sure exactly where he's heading to Atlanta yet, but Atlanta is the center of the Democratic universe in Georgia. And without a big turnout from Metro Atlanta, they might as well go home. The candidates might as well not even try. And they've been getting a big early vote turnout so far. So Biden's visit, they hope that he can help counter the image that Republicans have made for Ossoff and Warnock as liberal radicals, you know, as radical extremists, because, you know, as you know, Joe Biden doesn't exactly he is a more centrist Democrat, certainly than you know, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and AOC and the other Democrats that Republicans love to hate.
In addition to those very big names, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, a lot of other big names are showing up and a lot of money is showing up as these races are grabbing some national attention. What have you seen?
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot, because you can't turn on a TV or stream anything on YouTube without seeing an ad right now. I mean, my kids wake up and ask me, hey, is this thing about Reverend Warnock actually true? Or is this stuff about David Perdue actually true? Because they're seeing it when they're watching their YouTube kids videos. $500 million plus has been spent just on TV ads alone. When you add up all the money that's been spent, we're at $800 million plus has been spent on these races. So we're nearing $1 billion being spent, the most expensive political contest in the nation's history. And, you know, it shows up on the TV ads, but also the more important, I think, to me at least, and the quieter work is happening in neighborhoods, in subdivisions, on the streets of Atlanta and the streets of rural Georgia. And those are the canvassers who are working to reengage voters who, you know, probably just wished that this election was already over and who are being hounded by door knockers and by text messages and by phone calls and by leaflets and by every manner you can think of are encouraging to get back out and vote.
You mentioned Democrats having an edge in early voting. It was mail-in ballots that played a very large and controversial role in the November election. What's the trend in mail-in ballots right now for the runoffs?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, Republicans, including President Trump, have just heaped criticism about mail-in ballots now for not just months, but really in President Trump's case for years. And so Democrats had a giant advantage in the mail-in ballot in November. You started to hear Republicans change their tune on mail-in ballots in the runoff cycle. I mean, even Vice President Mike Pence, when he came to Georgia shortly after after the November election, he was encouraging Republicans to mail in the ballots. And there's a really good reason why. Look, this race stretches over the Christmas and New Year's breaks. A lot of voters are heading out of town. A lot of them are tuning out. And you just don't know what weather will be like on January 5th, on Tuesday, when the runoff votes are actually held. So relying on the Election Day vote is a bit of a gamble for Republicans. Luckily for them, the weather forecasts point to a nice 60-degree day, at least in Atlanta. But, you know, back then in early November, you didn't know that the weather there wouldn't be a blizzard or an ice storm or rainy weather on that Tuesday.
We're talking with Greg Bluestein of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. With all the Trump campaign allegations of fraud and mishandling of the November election, have there been any procedural changes or reforms in the process that could impact the vote counting after the runoffs?
Yeah, I mean, every single significant legal challenge to the election, not just the November election, but also to the January 5th runoff cycle, has been thrown out. So there won't be any sort of new rules for who's a voter, whose ballots get counted, whose get thrown out. And thousands of challenges to individual voters have also been thrown out. So far, Democrats have won every case, every significant case that has come before courts at every level. But there is a kind of behind the scenes change that I think will help with the vote tabulation, and that is that counties no longer may start counting the ballots early. They must start counting the ballots. So we're not seeing the results of those yet, but these ballots are being processed earlier, starting a few days ago, by all of Georgia's 159 counties. So there's hope that could lead to a speedier resolution on Tuesday. Although I'm not holding my breath. I'm expecting this to be a couple days until we have a real clear vision of who wins and who loses these races.
Greg Bluestein, politics reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Read more at ajc.com. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And whoever wins those races in Georgia, it'll determine who controls the Senate, Republicans or Democrats, in the next Congress. And one of the candidates in the Georgia runoff, Senator David Perdue, says he and his wife are quarantining after he came in close contact with someone who tested positive for coronavirus. Senator Perdue says he and his wife have tested negative. Washington Today continues in a moment. Welcome back to Washington Today. A few more headlines. China authorizing its first domestically produced COVID-19 vaccine for general use. It's made by the state-owned pharmaceutical company Sinopharm. Vaccine is said to be 79% effective. And President-elect Joe Biden's inaugural committee says they plan to hold a lighting ceremony at the Lincoln Memorial's reflecting pool on January 19th, the day before he is sworn into office, and that will honor those who have died from COVID-19. Another U.S. record broken Wednesday for coronavirus deaths in one day. According to the COVID Tracking Project, 3,903 at least have died in the United States from COVID-19. And on this New Year's Eve, pleadings from elected leaders for people to do the responsible thing and curb the spread of the virus. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp held a briefing in Atlanta.
I wanted to end tonight by talking about New Year's Eve. I've been clear with the people of Georgia this week. The virus is still here and presents as big a threat as ever. We need all Georgians to continue to act responsibly in the best interest of their loved ones and fellow citizens to limit the spread over the holiday weekend. Limit your gatherings to small groups of people within the same household. Consider gathering virtually to watch the ball drop tonight. Avoid including elderly loved ones or those who are more susceptible to the virus in your plans. And please consider the risk of going out for New Year's Eve tonight or through the weekend. If you do go out, I would encourage you to avoid going home these next few weeks to prevent the spread of the virus to other loved ones or other individuals that would be more at risk. As I mentioned yesterday, the largest percentage of cases that we're seeing in the state are coming from 18 to 29-year-olds. They have not been hit hard in most cases by this virus, but if they infect others, that is where we see problems and the risk of someone being in the hospital or worse. Our guidance on limits to bar capacity and gathering size remain in effect. And as I said yesterday as well, they can be enforced by any local or state law enforcement. We are each responsible to our fellow Georgians to stop the spread of COVID-19 while we administer the vaccine safely and efficiently. And if the people of Georgia will hunker down for a little bit longer, stay vigilant, and do the things we've been talking about, wearing a mask, washing your hands, socially distancing themselves, and following the health guidance in our executive orders, we can all have a safe, happy new year and look ahead to the continued miraculous rollout of this unbelievable vaccine and the rest of 2021. I want to thank everyone for being here today. Thank those for following the guidance. Be safe tonight and throughout the weekend. God bless.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp in Atlanta. In Texas, Attorney General Ken Paxton sued Austin, seeking to stop that city from enforcing a temporary ban on in-person dining over the New Year's holiday. Paxton arguing the restrictions violate an executive order from the governor that says every business establishment in Texas shall operate under certain protocols, but without limits on hours of operations. You heard Governor Kemp mention the ball drop in New York City. Times Square will be closed to the public tonight, the first time since the famous ball drop. Will happen without spectators since that started in 1907. But the ball drop itself will happen, and there will be entertainment, including Jennifer Lopez, Cyndi Lauper, and a USO show troupe. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio encouraging people to tune in virtually.
Tonight is going to be very special. Don't believe any doubting Thomases that say because there's not going to be a million people or more in Times Square that it's not going to be special. It's going to be actually arguably the most special, the most poignant, the most moving New Year's Eve. Everyone watch on television. Don't go down there. Watch from home. But it's going to be powerful. And think about it. We're going to be honoring our healthcare heroes and first responders and folks who did amazing work this year. Folks from the Cure Violence movement who did great work this year. All out there, small group observing the festivities and enjoying the festivities, but they'll be the people we truly have in our hearts because they're the folks who saw us through this year. But think about the performers, too. Amazing cast of performers. New York City's own, the Bronx's own, Jennifer Lopez. There's for the Bronx. This is a great moment to have her highlighted as we bring in the new year. And my personal favorite, Gloria Gaynor, will be singing I Will Survive. I can't think of a more amazing, special, and appropriate song for this occasion. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be very powerful, very special. Everyone tune in. I guarantee you that Shirlane and I will push the button on time. In fact, we will be tempted to push the button early and start the new year early, but we will get there for sure. 2021 right around the corner.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio at a news conference today in the city. He was also asked about another issue. There was an attack caught on camera, a group of teenagers on bicycles surrounding an SUV at a stoplight, hitting it, smashing the windshield. Here again is the mayor.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Hazel. How you feel?
I'm good. You've probably seen that video of a group of bicyclists attacking a man and his mother inside his SUV. I spoke with the driver, Max Turgovnik. He's a lifelong New York City resident. And he says he feels he deserves answers from the city as to what allowed this to happen and what is the city going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Hazel, it's absolutely unacceptable. And, you know, you have these teenagers doing something that's just wrong, period. At least one has been arrested. The others will be. Look, we got to teach our young people better all the time. It's incumbent upon all of us, but we also have to have consequences. So there will be consequences in this case. I don't want to ever see anything like this happen in New York City.
Mayor Bill de Blasio, CBS New York, says that one person arrested is 15 years old, and the search continues for the others involved. Back here in Washington, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing the appointment of Rear Admiral Margaret Grun Kibben to be the next House chaplain following the retirement of the current chaplain, Father Pat Conroy. Margaret Grun Kibben will be the first woman chaplain in the House or the Senate. In her career, she served as senior chaplain in Afghanistan, chaplain of the Marine Corps, and chief of Navy chaplains. Back in 2015, she was a guest chaplain in the House, giving the open prayer.
Would you pray with me? Almighty God, whose way is in the sea and whose paths are in the great waters, we offer our gratitude to you for the pastors, rabbis, priests, and imams who, over the course of 240 years, have left the safety of their homes and the comfort of their pulpits to wear the cloth of this country's Navy. We would ask that you would grant your blessing on these whom you have called to ensure that the voices of faith are never silenced, to provide the sanctuary of your presence, to serve alongside the sons and daughters who faithfully serve in every clime and place to preserve the ideals you have authored. In our efforts to preserve liberty, remind us that the freedoms we enjoy are gifts of your grace. In our deliberations to uphold justice, keep us bound to your law of mercy. In our encounters with each other, guide us with your steadfast love, that in these days of tumultuous seas of conflict and raging waters of uncertainty, your way be known and your path revealed. It is in the strength of your name we pray. Amen.
Rear Admiral Margaret Grun Kibben, back in 2015 at the start of a U.S. House session, that from C-SPAN's video library. Today, she was named by Speaker Nancy Pelosi to be the next House chaplain. Thanks for being with us on Washington Today. Get the free C-SPAN radio app to listen anywhere, anytime, and find this program and other C-SPAN programs as podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Have a good night and Happy New Year.